You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
We're going to launch with the scripture that we had, Ecclesiastes 3:11. The Bible says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the works that God does from the beginning to the end. I want to also read 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 25, verse 23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now to help us as we go into your word. Father, we pray that you would just let your word come alive to us today. Father, I pray that you would minister to the spirit man. Father, we ask you right now just to help us and be with us and magnify your son Jesus. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. And so on Sunday, we preached the sermon and we went through, we spoke about it. We had the guys that came up on the stage. How many remember that? Sunday was a long time ago, but we can remember that. And so in our text here, the two things that the Bible says that eternity is in our heart. And that's what we've been talking about. That's what this whole series is about, eternity. And so, but in what we really elaborated on Sunday is that we are eternal beings. And we spoke about the body, the soul, and the spirit. Amen. Some of you look like it's all coming back to you now. Amen. And so you are an eternal being. Your soul is eternal. The Bible shows us that the reason why I want to do this, because I want to get a little bit deeper into it. The soul and the spirit, they're almost intertwined. So it's not so much like how we did on the stage. We had three guys, and so we had Martin was the soul, and then Caleb was the spirit, and who was the body? Okay, yeah, he was the body boy. But it's more, the soul and the spirit is more entwined. But we do know that there is a difference, because in our text, he says that we'd be completely sanctified. And he says your spirit, soul, and body. So we understand that those three elements make us up. Also, the Bible says is in Hebrews 4 verse 12, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit. So what it's saying is those things, they're very close together, but the word of God can actually come between those things. This is how sharp and how living it is. And it says the joints and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts of the intent. Of the intent of the heart. So just to recap, the body is the five senses. How many remember those five senses? Give me one. Somebody got one? Okay, put your hand up now. Okay. Taste, hearing. Okay, we'll go over here. These guys didn't finish school. No, I'm only joking. Anybody here? Smell, touch. Okay, there we got the five. These are the five senses. This is how everything is operated on these five senses. All of us, you have those five senses, unless there's a problem. But nobody has any more than five senses. And so here we are. So the body can only understand things from these five senses. And we said that the soul is your conscience, your imagination, your affections, your reasoning. This is the real you. This is who you are. It's your soul. It's who you are. Not the body. What we see right now is just the hardware. And how many know the body is temporal? So you're going to physically die one day. But your soul won't die. Your soul does not die. Your soul will go on into eternity. And either it's going to go to heaven or it's going to go to hell. But the Bible says that it will go somewhere. And the spirit is faith, hope, worship, prayer, discernment, revelation. This is where we get, you know, these things from our spirit. The problem is that we said because of sin, the fall of man, there's been a disconnect between the spirit and the soul. There's a disconnect. We've gone spiritually dead. So that means you no longer have the unsaved man or the unregenerated man. And the word regenerated is that we know when they move into an area and they regenerate the area. How many understand what we're talking about? They regenerate an area. They move into an estate and they regenerate it. I was just in York Gardens just today. We were talking about some stuff. And they're talking about in York Gardens, they want to regenerate the whole area. They want to renew it, bring it back to life. The Bible says that when you get saved, God regenerates your spirit. So now there's parts of you that was dead are now alive. They come alive. But let's look at the unregenerated, the unsaved person. They do not have the things of the spirit. So that means things like faith and hope and discernment and worship and prayer. The unsaved man can't function there. His spirit is dead. He can't actually function at that place. So the unsaved person, what are they? Their soul. Everybody has a soul. We got that? And so the unsaved person doesn't have the spirit? No. You get that? So they only have the body. So everything an unsaved person or an unregenerated person does is get all of their information through the body. So it's always, how does my situation look? How does my situation sound? How do I feel right now about this? This is, you know, usually taste is not really a big thing, you know, and smell, but those do have their place. The problem is this, is that because of sin, there's a spiritual breakdown and all of our information and inspiration is coming from the body. The Bible says this in James 3 verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. The Bible says that there is a wisdom. So that means people that kind of, I think I'm wise. I know some stuff. I'm established. I'm getting through life. They have a certain wisdom. He says, but there is a wisdom that doesn't come from above. It's not spiritual. It's not a spiritual wisdom because the spirit is dead. So the spirit is not receiving any instruction to make it wise. It's not receiving inspirational information. It's receiving information only from the body. The Bible says that there is a wisdom that's not from above, but is earthly. So it's only based upon what I see here. It is sensual. Remember what we said? The body has five senses. That's what makes it sensual. It's how do I feel? What does it look like? What does it sound like? That's everything. And the Bible says that that realm, the danger with that realm, when you're earthly and sensual, you're very influenced by the demonic. That's where the demonic traffics. It traffics in the earthly and the sensual. The problem is this with unspiritual people is that all of this earthly, sensual, demonic information is molding how you think and process life. It's molding how you think and process life. There's some of you here, maybe all of your ambitions and all of your decisions and your personality is being formed by simply sensual things. So if you see, let's give you an illustration. If you see someone who has a lot of money, you want to be their friend. How many know that would be a sensual thing? Because you're just seeing something. But then you could see someone that has no money, but you know what? They're a good spiritual companion. But no, I don't. So you're leaning on the senses. And it starts to change how you think and how you operate. And you can think, but I'm wise. I'm getting through life. I know some stuff. People, you know, I got a good job. I've been to university. I've got a degree. You know, I've been around for a while. I'm in my 40s now. Yeah, that wisdom is not from above, though. This is why someone who's been saved half your age can be wiser than you. Because you have wisdom that's not from above. It's you're becoming soulish. And so there's no faith. There's no hope. There's not much worship. I said this in the prayer meeting the other day on Monday. If you look around in the church, and I know we shouldn't really look around when we're worshiping. We should be looking at God. How many know that? But just once, I'll allow you just once, look around and see who's worshiping, and you realize there are some people they don't worship. It's disappointing to see that. But some people, they don't worship. Now, you know, we all have a day, you know, where we just, I don't know, maybe someone's talking to you, things happen. But when people continually don't worship, it's because they're soulish. They function in the sensorial. If many of those people that don't worship, if we said, oh, look, here's a suitcase of £100,000, woohoo! They'd lift their hands up because their senses would get excited. If we said, oh, you got a new job, or here's a car for you, they'd get excited. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you gave me $100,000, I'd get excited. I'll lift my hands. But I realize I also lift my hands when I'm worshiping God. I also engage because my spirit man wants to worship my God. Prayer. People that don't pray are soulish. You can't, the body, how many, if you know anything about anything, the body does not want to really pray. Not spiritual prayer. Religious prayer, yeah, you can bow to the east, the west, the north, the south, 3 times a day, because that's not spirit. That's flesh. That's just flesh. It's easy to be religious because religion is flesh. Religion is flesh. But what we're talking about is when you're worshiping spirituality. See, religion is like, I'm going to do these physical things and that makes me better than you. I'm going to wear these certain clothes, whether it's a dog collar or a little skull cap or all that. I'm better than you. It's full physical. It's all flesh. Think about it now. Religion, you know what? We want to take over this place, so we're going to bomb. That's physical. It's all physical. But what we follow is spiritual. This is why Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says they're not physical, but they are spiritual. But without the spirit man alive, you're always going to function at the soulish level. Okay, we want to pause there for a second. If you have any questions, very quickly, lift up your hand. You have a question. We've got I know it's different, so you're not used to it, but I want to give people an opportunity. If you have a question. No questions. I've answered all the questions already. Okay, good. Let's move on. Where? Okay, let's go for it.
Hi, Pastor. My question is, you know when we were talking about the Spirit, that the Spirit has faith, it has hope.
Yeah.
What do normal, well, just carnal people, what is that they have? Is it not hope that people think about, okay, I'm thinking that there is hope for something better to happen in their lives, or...
Yes,
is it
very good.
From the Christian
okay, so
hope?
yeah, that's a very good question. What's the difference between spiritual hope and carnal hope? Well, many times in the world, when people say, "I hope that's going to happen," what they're saying is wishful thinking. That's one of the things. It's wishful thinking. So, like, I hope that's going to happen. You're going to get the job. I hope. When we have hope, we know it's going to happen because we know God. Our hope is in Him. That's what our hope is in. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so we have our hope in line with God's word. Now, someone might be hearing and say, I'm hoping for a BMW, I don't know, a 3 Series, M3 with 24-inch rims or whatever. Okay, but is that in line with the word? I hope you get it. Praise God. But that's worldly hope. I hope you get it. You know, that's just we wish you well. You know, that type of thing. But what we're talking about, when the Christian has hope, we have hope in line with God's word. And we know that He'll do it because His word and Him are one. So it's that there's a difference there. Also, when the world, sometimes they use hope, it's like, how could I say it? It's a different thing, because what we have is a guarantee. We hope in God. And so our hope is different. Let him hold the mic, yeah. Because we don't know who's going to be in here and run off at the mic and start Allah Akbar and all of that.
Yeah, Pastor, where do we draw the line between, like, earthly ambition, things like career or what you want to do, and spiritual ambition? So, like, the will of God versus what we want to achieve on this earth.
Very good question. Very good question. And so what we would say is that I believe that we're not saying that the body is evil. We're not saying that the body is bad. We're saying that when the body rules your life, it's bad. And so the Bible rebukes the lazy man. It says the lazy man will come to poverty. The Bible says some people are poor because they're lazy. That's why they're poor. They're lazy. Now, other people are unfortunate. And we should always help people. We should always want to help people and bring people out of poverty. But bringing people out of poverty doesn't mean giving them all the time. Just giving them charity. Sometimes it might be giving them a job or giving them advice or giving them a kick up the backside in a nice Christian way. But what we would say is when your body rules you. So when there's a crossroads between for me to continue in this direction, I have to sacrifice spiritual things. That is carnality. Because the body is ruling over the flesh. Now, that doesn't mean you cannot have a good career. That doesn't mean that you cannot earn a lot of money. That doesn't mean that you cannot get married and have kids and have a house and those things. But if getting those things means that you have to compromise spiritual things, then it's not God's time. It's not God's time. And you're going to have to always be very careful that you are not allowing these things to have you. You can have things, but don't let things have you. Things don't have me. I may have things, but they don't have me. And what that means is that if I was to lose them, I could still go on and serve Jesus. So hopefully that helps. Okay, we will have two more questions afterwards, but let me go on a little bit more. And so we've spoken about the soulish man. He is being formed. And listen, church, we've all got to be very careful of this because it starts to change how you are and who you are. It will change how you are and who you are. It's earthly. It's sensual. When you're not receiving any, it's like this. It's like trying to counsel a married couple. And I've had to learn this the hard way. You know, we've got the best married couples in the world in this church. Let me just say that. We have the best of everything in this church. God is good. But from time to time, you have to give a few married people a little bit of direction. Let's say it that. A little bit of advice. And so the wife may come on and she gets on the phone and she's telling you what the husband, talk to my husband. Da, 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 da. And so if you listen to one side, you'd be like, that brother's a demon. He's a demon, and I'm getting riled up now, but I've learned. I'm like, okay, sis, let me just chat to your husband, and maybe we need to talk on Sunday together. And when you sit down together, you get two sides. And so I've learned you cannot counsel married people separately because you're only getting one side. The Bible says a fool hears one side and then believes it because the Bible says every man declares his own righteousness, but a faithful man is hard to find. So that's just like it is. The soulish man has all the information coming from the flesh, but he has none coming from the spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says this, but the natural, and that really is the word we could translate soulish, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This is where it becomes a little bit scary, if I'm honest with you. Because it says the natural man, the soulish man, this is this man that is governed by his flesh, his body. He cannot receive spiritual things. So that means he could sit in church and hear a spiritual sermon, but he won't receive it. He's not getting it. He's actually not getting it. This soulish man who is governed by his body and his flesh. This woman, she is governed by a flesh. The Bible says he cannot receive. They cannot take it in. They reject it. I remember a few years ago, I got like a cold. I kept getting these colds all the time. And so that's why I'm always taking vitamin C. I love vitamin C now. Because I have to take that. And so this is nothing to do with the story, but just to help you guys. Get vitamin C and get the 1,000 gram. Anyway. And so I wasn't taking this, and so I kept getting these colds, and it kept coming back. And then what happened was, you know, when you get that cold and your runny nose and all the nastiness, and then I basically got a cough, and the cough wouldn't go. And so I went to the doctors. I had this cough for ages, and the doctor said, okay, we're going to put you on antibiotics. So they put me on antibiotics. But I had an allergic reaction, not allergic reaction, but a reaction to the antibiotics. And what it was is like this taste in my mouth. I couldn't swallow properly. And I felt a bit funny, but I didn't know what it was. And I remember I was coming back from work. This is where I was working up at Shepherd's. So I was working and I was driving back. And I knew my wife wasn't going to be in. I was going to be in the afternoon, and I was tired and I was hungry. So I said, let me stop at Nando's, pick up some righteous chicken. And so I went there, got the chicken, took it home, started to eat it. As I was halfway through it, I started to vomit. Sorry about that. And so, those of you that know me, you know I like a Nando's or two, but I couldn't keep it down. And I thought, oh, there's something wrong with the Nando's. And then later on, my wife came home and I had some dinner, and again, and the next day, again, and I literally couldn't eat anything. I couldn't keep nothing down. I remember I had to go preach. I think I had to go preach in Birmingham, and I was there preaching in the morning. And in the afternoon, all I could eat was plain rice, like slowly. Like I was sucking each grain. It's like I couldn't keep nothing down, anything spiked. I could barely drink water. It was just, as soon as I'd eat it, it would make me feel like vomiting. It kept coming up. And so there was nothing wrong with the food. I just couldn't keep it in. That is how the carnal man is. The carnal man cannot receive spiritual things. He cannot receive them. He keeps vomiting them out. He can't receive spiritual things. Think about it now. All of the food that was nice, I should be eating it, and it should be nourishing protein and vitamins and carbs to be giving me energy and muscle. I was depleting because I could not absorb what was good for me. The Bible says here, this is the scary thing about being a soulish individual. It says you cannot receive spiritual things. Now, what does it mean? Let me explain it. He says, they are foolishness to him. That means when we give you spiritual things, you're going to be like, that's stupid. That sermon, the pastor don't know. The Bible scripture. It's going to be like, dismissive. We give you wisdom. I don't mind us. No. Why? When you say it's foolish, it's because it looks weak. It looks weak. When we give you spiritual things, it looks like, let me show you what I'm talking about. We talk about forgiveness, and the flesh is like, forgiveness. What's that? It's weak. When we talk about humbling yourself, humility, the carnal man, that's weak. About humble myself. No, I'm going to go up in there and talk about, show myself. Who are you talking to? That's again, the carnal man says it's weak. Sacrifice. When we say, hey, sacrifice. Sacrifice? No, make them sacrifice. I need to get my own. And so what we see is the carnal man says he rejects these things, the spiritual things that God is trying to give him. He's constantly rejecting them. And then he has the audacity to say, I'm not growing. James 4 verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. And that you may spend it on your pleasure, meaning your flesh. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And so what he's saying here is that the carnal man, he's going to reject spiritual things. Have you ever tried to advise carnal people? It's so difficult. It's really difficult because it's like, why? And you could show them in the Bible, but it's so difficult. But listen, sometimes we can be those people. Before we start saying, hey, pastor, give it to her. Tell her. Yeah, tell my husband. Tell my wife. We need to realize that, you know what? We can be those people that are soulish. See, the danger is, the Bible says, to be a friend of the world, he makes himself an enemy of God. Is that when you start to allow the world, the body, to form how you think and how you what you're becoming, you start to despise the things of God. You start to mock it. You see people that will mock and look down on spiritual things. You talk about spiritual things, discipleship and faithfulness and prayer, and they roll their eyes. Yeah. What they're doing is, that's foolishness. I'm about making money, getting my life together, doing things. Yeah, we're all about that, but we must do spirit. They put it down. The Bible actually says they become an enemy. They start to fight against it. This is why it's very dangerous when you allow your carnal man to rule your life. Let's stop at that point. Any questions? Kenny at the front here, please.
Yeah, so where's the thin line, or where's the borderline between being soulish and backslidden?
Very good question. I guess I would say that the Bible actually doesn't really give us a clean line. You know, there isn't a thermometer. Yeah, you're backslidden. There isn't a, but I would say this, is that we're all at different levels of growth. But the danger is, if you start going backward, then you are on the beginning of backsliding. Backsliding is not an overnight thing. People don't go home today, they're on fire, they're in ministry, they're loving God, and they sleep, they wake up, wake up, oh my days, I backslid in the night. They don't do that. What they do is, they start to allow their body to make more decisions for them. And when the body, your flesh, you start to reason, you start to see things, you start to reject the things of God. And so it's a power transfer for the Christian that once was spiritual, pursuing things, and now they're going in that direction. So I would say to anybody here, if you feel that you're starting to go backwards, stop now. Because usually you're always further than you think you are. You're like, yeah, I've only gone 2 steps backwards, but really you've gone 102 steps backwards. You're always further than you are, because remember, you're not spiritual enough to even discern where you are. So if you realize, if you come to church or someone speaks to you, or you're in a sermon, or you're in prayer, or you're reading your Bible, and God starts to challenge you, and you're like, God, I'm not where I should be, move forward. Don't hang about. Don't play games with that. Very good question. Any one other? Okay.
Hi. Just in reference to when you were saying the spiritual, mainly being in terms of the Spirit of God, are you saying that there is no spiritual interplay for the carnal person? Like, if there is, if is it only the Spirit of God, or is there any other?
Well, the Bible, yeah, very good question. Good. Like I said, the soul and the spirit intertwine a bit. So there is no clean line where we say 100% that's all of the spirit and 100% that's all of the soul. The soul and the body is more distinct. And even that, the soul and the body, how does that interact? Because the brain does some of the thinking. Some of your personality is in your brain, but it's also your soul. So that's entwined. And the Bible actually says the Holy Spirit inhabits what? Your body. So again, that's entwined. But what I would say is that the Bible says that he needs to regenerate our spirit man to connect with God. So the unsaved person, they cannot receive the things of God spiritually. Their spiritual light is turned off. Now, where do we go from a perspective of the demonic? How does the demonic interact with them? I would say that's probably more influential through the soul rather than the spirit. But I would say that the Bible specifically says that the spirit, so let me just say this here. The soul and the spirit a bit, again, is intertwined. So the soul is the unseen realm. The soul really is in the spiritual realm, we would say. There's a soulish realm, spiritual realm. So there's entwined. There's not a clear line where we can say, that's where the spirit ends and that's where the soul starts. They're entwined. But we know that the soul is like your heart. When the Bible speaks about your heart and your mind, that's talking really about your soul. That's that inner man, that being there. When the Bible's speaking about the spirit being alive, that's really that part of you that comes alive and you're born again of the spirit. So if that, does that make sense? Yeah, perfect. Anybody else? One more? No, okay, let's move on and we'll get another one. We'll try and fit a few more in. Let's quickly move on. Okay. God is able to lift up the soulish man. How many praise God for that? There is hope for the soulish man. Let me read this scripture, James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your glory to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, let me just pull out some stuff out of this text. One, he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. And so he's speaking from a perspective of a negative. Remember, he's actually dealing with someone maybe that they've sinned, they've backslidden, they're soulish, they're in compromise. He's talking to this person, but look what he begins with. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See, God is always wants to draw near to us. God, you don't have to stay in this soulish state. You don't have to stay at this place where you're governed and influenced by your body, by your fleshy man. He says, listen, if you will deal with some stuff, God will lift you up. See, please, three of you, you just look so good there. You just look, it's like I was going to go here and him, but it's a three. Come up here. And so just stand in a line here. Hi, short's nice. And so, no, you're not going to be the spirit now. You're going to be the body now. Amen, that's good. And so we're talking about this is the body, this is the soul, this is the spirit. This is who you are. This is the part of you that lasts for eternity. This is who you are. I'm going to preach about this on Sunday more. And this is so valuable. You got to understand, this is so valuable. Your soul is so valuable. This is your body. Your body is telling, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what I see, this or that. And this is the spirit man. And so we're saying that the soulish man is, just stand over here a second. The soulish man is just dealing with this. And so somebody upsets this guy, and the soulish man is like, the body says, I don't feel like forgiving him. I don't feel like doing this. And he tells that to the soul, and the soul is being formed by what he is saying. He's being dictated to by his body. That's it. It's his flesh. He doesn't have God coming through here. He's cut this off. Whether he's cut it off or he's not feeding it, or, you know, that's the position what we're saying here. Now, the Bible says here, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And he says, you know, purify your hearts. And what the end of this, he says, God is going to come close to you as you make steps to come close to him. And he says that he will lift you up. How do I re-engage this? How do I re-engage this element of my life here? If I feel this is weak or this is not there or turned off at all, how do I re-engage this? And the Bible is showing us it's an act of your will. It's an act of your will. See, this is what's got to happen. Your soul has a will. God has given you a free will. I preached a whole sermon on it recently. The devil can't control it and God won't violate it. This is your will. Even though the body is saying all that it wants to you, and it says, yeah, go check that girl. Yeah, go rob that bank. Yeah, check that guy. All of this the body is saying, the will is here. And when somebody actually says, no, I'm going to seek God. Look what he says here. He says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He's telling them, listen, there needs to be an act of your will. And what it means is you need to submit your will to God's will. And if you are willing to submit your will to God's will, this turns on. This turns on in an amazing way. The spirit is should be bigger than the will, but we're don't worry, man. Praise God. We should have anyway. Praise God. Don't worry. We're the same boat. See what he said here. He said submit. See in the text. Sorry, guys. I need to keep you there. You're doing a great job. He says submit to God. Resist the devil. Many people are trying to resist the devil. They're trying to resist. Remember, the devil works through this. So if I'm the devil, I'm talking to his flesh. Hey, tell him to check some girls. And then he's like, check some girls. And so this is what he's trying to do. So what he's going to try and do is resist this. He's trying to resist this. He's trying to stop. Oh, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do this. And he keeps failing. And that's what you find. You can even come to an altar. And you go back and you do the same sin, the same sin, the same sin. And you feel bad. You feel, oh, it's not working for me. But what he says is, what do you have to do first? Submit to God and then resist. You've got to deal with your will first. And then you'll be able to have dominion over your flesh. The issue is your will. Will you serve God? Will you? You've got to lay your will down. It's a choice of the will. If we would make decisions of the will, then the spirit would come alive. He said to humble yourself. This is why it's so powerful to humble yourself, is because when you humble yourself, what you're doing is you're saying no to the body. That's what it means. You're saying no to the body. Because how many know? Say for instance, you got to forgive somebody. How many of our bodies never want to forgive nobody? Our body wants forgiveness, but never wants to forgive nobody. Nobody wants to forgive nobody. How many know that's the reality? Let's keep it real. And so this brother here is like, listen, no, forgive them. Forgive them which what? I'm not forgiving nobody. No, make them come and beg for forgiveness furthermore. I'm not forgiving no. And that's what this will be saying. But when you humble yourself, this is what happens. The soul says, be quiet, body. Humbling. Kneel down for me. Praise God. You've pushed the body down. You can stand up, because I don't want to keep you down there. Think about this now. This is why when people refuse to humble themselves, they cannot be spiritual. They won't humble themselves. Their body is taking control and running roughshod, is riding them. Your body is riding you. Your spirit is like, I think I should pray. Your body, you ain't praying no way. Your body's like, I think I should tithe. Tithe which part? This is what's happening here. What you've got to do is say, no, I'm humbling myself. I'm going to humble myself and forgive. I'm going to humble myself and sacrifice. I'm going to humble myself and listen. I'm going to humble myself. See, if you don't humble yourself, you're never going to hear from the Spirit. When you say no to the body, you're saying the body can't have its way. Look what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But I discipline my body, bringing it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself become disqualified. Paul says, I discipline my body. Remember, we're not saying the body's bad. You need the body. You need the body to eat. You need the body to rest. You need the body to do other stuff. The body's very useful. But what he does is he says, I discipline my body. My body's under control. My body's not just doing whatever it wants to do. He says, I discipline it. Because if I don't discipline it, soon this is going to ruin everything, and now I'm disqualified. This is why somebody could preach to someone else. At one point they were on fire. At one point they were witnessing. At one point they were pastors. At one point they were in ministry. At one point they were doing anything. But now they've become disqualified because they stopped disciplining the body. They stopped saying no. You guys can sit down. Give him a round of applause. See, real wisdom, power, and dominion is of the Spirit. James 3, verse 13. Let me read this and then we're going to close. Who is wise and understanding among you? James is asking a question. Who's got some wisdom? Do you think you're wise? So like I said before, maybe you've got a good job, or maybe you've got a degree, or maybe you're middle-aged like myself, you've lived your life a little while. And so he's saying, who's got wisdom among you? And so you're like, yeah, I'm wise. Yeah, I know how to get through life. He says, let him show by good conduct that works would be done in the meekness of wisdom. This is what James says. If you're really wise, we would see that you was meek. If you was really wise, we would see you've humbled your body. That would be true wisdom, because your spirit man would be talking. He says this, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, and do not boast and lie against the truth. He says, don't pretend like you're wise when you're carnal. This wisdom, like I read, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where is envy and self-seeking exists, confusion, every evil thing are there, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. What the Bible is saying here is that a true wise person is a person that can humble themselves. Now, if you're someone, you may know the Bible back to front, front to back, memorized it, you know it better than me. That's fine. That's cool. But the issue is, can you humble yourself? Can you humble yourself? You may be highly educated here and very eloquent. You may earn a lot of money in here. You may be the oldest person in here. That's all good. But can you humble yourself? Because he says real wisdom is gentle, is kind, willing to yield. The body's like, no, don't make them, you go first. Don't make them go first. Yield, body. Humble yourself. Imagine if you knew a married man, and you saw this married man, and he'd been married maybe a year or two, and you started to speak to him about his marriage, and you realize that he kept talking about his ex-girlfriend. I mean, that's dangerous. Or it could be a married woman. She's talking about her ex-boyfriend. Poison. That's dangerous. As you're talking to them, you realize that their ex is dictating to them how their marriage should be. So think about this now. Hearing me, a married man, married to my wife, but you know that my ex-girlfriend is dictating the tempo and the standards and what I do in my marriage. How many of you would say that is ridiculous? If you're a woman here and there's a guy and he was doing that to you, even when you was dating, would you want him? No. If you didn't know that, look, no. No. Some of you are like, let me think about it. Maybe he could get saved. So here is this man now. He's married, but he's allowing his ex-girlfriend to dictate the relationship. We know that is crazy. None of us would do that, but we do it with God. Because here we are now saved, married to God, but we're still allowing our flesh to dictate how spiritual we're going to be. When your flesh says you can pray, you pray. But when your flesh says, I don't feel like praying, you don't pray. Your flesh is dictating the new relationship. When your spirit says, listen, we need to be in church, we need to be faithful, we need to be at the altar, we need to be coming, we need to be given, your flesh says, I don't really feel like it today. Your flesh dictates the relationship. God convicted me that sometimes I've been praying, and I'm like, yeah, I've done my bit now, I want to go. And I feel my spirit saying, go on, son, keep praying. I don't feel, come on, I've done my hour, man, I've done my half an hour, I've done my whatever it is. I was like, why does your flesh always dictate the relationship? Why is your flesh dictating the relationship? Can the Spirit not come and visit you and say, listen, I want this. I want this from you today. I want to spend time with you today. No, no, no. Don't go on Instagram or don't go on WhatsApp or don't watch YouTube or you listen. Don't go out with listen, I want to spend time with you today. Or this is what I want. Could it be that what we're searching for, God is saying, if you just allow, if you just humble your flesh. See, this is why ministry and faithfulness and sacrifice and forgiveness are so powerful. Because when you operate at that level, you're pushing the rulership, the reins. You're taking the controls out of your flesh and you're giving them to the Spirit. This is why fasting is so powerful. Remember Jesus says, unless you pray and fast, certain things are not going to happen. Because what is fasting doing? Pushing the body down. How many of the body don't, you get up, you're going to do a fast, the body's like, yippee! No, 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 no. The body don't want to fast. Body starts telling you about things that you ain't never had. I don't know, the body starts talking about things that you listen, what about bounty bars, man? Or lion bars, or these random chocolate bars. Even Turkish Delight right now would be nice. The body starts thinking of things because the body is it constantly wants to be fed. It wants its thing. And you say, no, body, I'm fasting today. And when you're doing that, it's like, how many are with me now? When you're fasting and you start praying, it's like, woo, it's so clear. It's like driving at night. If you've ever driven at night, like it's late, you're coming back from somewhere. How many are going through London at night? You just get anywhere quick. That's how it feels like when you're fasting. It's like there's no, you know, usually when you're not, you're like you're praying. It's like you're stuck in a traffic jam, congestion charge, and you got prayer. Okay, I got through. But you're fasting. It's like, woo. Have you ever had a three-day fast and then you break it? And then it's like, oh, I love the food. And then straight away you feel like, oh, I wish I didn't break it. Because there was that feeling. There was something there because it was the flesh was under. For a long time, the flesh hasn't been under the control. But now the flesh has been pushed down. We can do this, church. Listen, we can do this. We can discipline our flesh. We can push our flesh down. We've got to beat our flesh into subjection. We've got to say no. Yeah, you have a place, flesh. But you're not going to rule. I rule you, flesh. You don't rule me. I rule you. Like I said, you can have things, but don't let things have you. This is why an addiction is so demonic. Because an addiction is when the devil puts a hook in your flesh on another level and now your flesh is totally out of control. It's not even normal. It's not even your normal flesh now. The devil has embedded a remote control device into your flesh. And so as soon as hell just says, beep, you just do it. Even the normal man would be like, listen, I wouldn't do that. But when the devil has your flesh, you're doing things. This is why we see these people murdering people. This is why we see perversion and pedophile. Because the devil has totally got hold of their flesh. But before we judge, listen. God forbid there be any Christians here that you're giving more and more real estate over to your flesh. That the thing right now that you're saying, I'd never do that. Next year you'll be doing it twice a week. Let me read this scripture to encourage us. Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can have dominion over your flesh. You can have dominion over your flesh. Look at someone and say, you can have dominion over your flesh. You can have dominion over your flesh. You can. Right now, the devil's had some of you for so long, the devil's getting scared, and he's telling you, some of you, you can't do this, but you need to tell, listen, devil, I can have dominion over my flesh. Jesus said, I can do all things, and I'm going to have dominion over my flesh. I'm going to get up when God tells me to get up and pray. I'm going to read my Bible when God tells me to read my Bible. I'm going to witness when God tells me to witness. I'm going to do everything that God tells me to do. Listen, I'm not even just talking about the spiritual things. Some of you are trying to, you know what, I need to study a course. Listen, get your body in gear so you get to the course and do it on time. Some of you want to get healthy, you want to lose weight, you want to get bigger, do this. Yeah, I'm going to go to the gym and you're going to stick to it. You're like, oh, I start it and I stop it. That's going to stop because you can. You can. I'm looking for a job. I'm not looking for a job. Listen, you can do all things. You have to get your body under control. Don't let your body run rampant. After a message like this, if you don't get your body under control, I don't know what I can do for you, man. I've preached it and I've done a Bible study on it. But I believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's give Jesus a clap off and a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.